You know, vision is one of the most wonderful blessings of all God's gifts to us. There is much to see in God's wonderful universe, and yet there are invisible realities. Imagine how your life would be different if you couldn't physically see it all. It would really be change, wouldn't it? I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 6. And just going along with that thought, just because we can't see something doesn't mean that it isn't there. You can't see grass grow. You can look every hour. You won't see it grow. I don't care how well it's watered. Every hour you can go out there and it'll look about the same. Maybe 12 hours go by, you still can't see it grow. Maybe the next day, you know, if it's really good grass or it's in good ground, maybe you'll see some of it grow. But just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there. Amen. Farmer once said, "My corn grew so fast last night, you could hear it." Of course, he was optimistic. He wanted it to grow. But 2 Kings chapter 6, tonight I want to speak on the subject of the need of spiritual sight. The need of spiritual sight. Good to see you, Jonathan. I was worried about you. Jonathan said he felt a little faint before, and I just wanted to make sure he's all right. So, you all right? All right, if you have a problem, just wave at me. We'll call 911, whatever it takes. But we want to make sure that you're doing fine. All right, 2 Kings chapter 6. We have an unusual story of Elisha and the life of Elisha, the prophet. It's unusual in many ways. In this story, we see Elisha, number one, asking for spiritual sight for his servant. And his servant is able to see the unseen. His servant is able to see the hosts of heaven. As Elisha prays to God and God pulls the curtain back so that his servant could see that they were not really outnumbered by the Syrian army. And then we see that Elisha prays again, and he asked the Lord to strike the Syrian army with blindness. What a man of God. What a man of connection with God. Amen. And God answers his prayer, and the Syrian army is struck with blindness. And then he prays again in this chapter that their eyesight might come back to them after he takes them away from the area and disarms the whole situation. To me, it's just an amazing story in many ways. But look at verse number 8, please. 2 Kings chapter 6. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel. Nothing new with Israel being at war, amen? That's the story of their history. And took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." It's interesting to me that Elisha knew what was happening. God told Elisha exactly where the Syrian army was going to penetrate the defenses of Israel. And Elisha warned Israel, and Israel sent men out in front to take care and just to be there to beat them to the place. You know, our God knows everything. Amen. Verse 10, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord.'" He's saying, who betrayed me? Who gave it up? Who told him? He says, "No, it's not us, it's Elisha. O king, Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. The very secret things that you whispered in your bedchamber, Elisha told Israel." That's pretty powerful, amen? "And he said, 'Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.'" Now, it's interesting to me, the Syrian king didn't think that Elisha could warn himself. He could warn the king of Israel of incoming danger, But he didn't stop to think that Elisha could warn himself as well. Amen. Amen. But in any event, we read on, verse 14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night, encompassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? We are surrounded. All of the enemy is around us. What are we going to do? Verse 16, and he answered, Fear not. It's just like the preacher. He said, Don't worry about it. Act like a believer. Amen. Don't let the circumstances control you. Trust in the Lord. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now that's easy to say, but Elisha was going to show them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God opened the curtain, and the servant of Elisha was able to see the unseen. He saw the hosts of God in flaming chariots surrounding the city behind the armies of Syria. And the servant realized, yeah, you're right. Those that are with us are more than those that are against us. Seeing the unseen. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. You say, Pastor, you really believe that Elisha prayed blindness on his enemies? It's right there, isn't it? Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen. You know, this phony Christianity today about God wants everybody well, don't believe that stuff. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Sometimes God allows us to be sick for his own reasons. Did you know that? We should never tell God what he should and shouldn't do concerning some things. We should say, Lord, if it be thy will. I think it's good to pray for health. But you know what? Sometimes God allows us to stay in a situation for his own reasons and his own purposes. And if he tarries, we're all going to get sick and die. That's usually the course of leaving this world. Your body breaks down, you get sick, and you die. Amen? It's just the way that life is, being under the curse of sin, which the whole world is. And notice, and he smote them with blindness, verse 18, according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me. And he's leading all these blind soldiers of Syria. One man. I would have loved to have seen what that looked like. And I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come unto Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. He's had a busy day, hasn't he? He's asking God to open the eyes of people and close the eyes of people. And now he's asking the Lord to open the eyes of these soldiers. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Shall we kill them? I mean, here they are, the enemy right in front of us. Elisha's not afraid of the enemy, amen? He says, No, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with the sword and with the bow? They're already prisoners. They're not going anywhere. They've got the fear of God in them now. That's what's missing in America today, folks. The fear of God and the fear of what sin can do. And I startle and I shake whatever when I see what people are doing today without the fear of God, realizing that they're one breath away from eternity. The things that go on today in this country, I dread and I fear for them. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of sin either. Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and to go to their master. And they're not going to have any problem with them. Notice verse 23, and he prepared great provision for them And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. And let us pray. Father, we're thankful again tonight for thy eternal word. Help us, Lord, to glean from it the things that you'd have us to see. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the invisible. Help us, Lord, as we feed on the spiritual, that you take blinders even off of our eyes, your children, that we might see more and to see more wondrous things from thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd just like to share with you a few things tonight concerning the message. I want us to notice, first of all, that the natural eye is blind to heavenly things. The natural eye of man is blind to heavenly things. Secondly, that God alone can open man's eyes spiritually. Thirdly, that we may ask God to open man's eyes spiritually. Number four, that God does open men's eyes. And lastly, that even those that see need to see more. That's us. Oh, I feel like so many times like that fella in the New Testament that said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Amen. Help me to see more. More about you. More about Jesus, what I know. More of his love to others show. Help me to see more. I want to promote the Wednesday night prayer meeting at this time before I forget and to get further into my message. But, you know, we cannot be a New Testament church if we are not a praying church. It takes prayer to build God's work. And if we can't make it, I'd ask you to pray at 8:15 p.m. wherever you are. That's about the time we're going to be meeting for prayer on Wednesday night. And so I know some of you can't make it, but if you're home and it's at 8:15, join us in prayer. Also, call in your prayer requests just on Monday and Tuesday so that we can share them with the others. And prayer is a vital, vital thing in building the work of God. But I'd like us to notice the natural eye is blind to heavenly things. It's interesting to me that God is everywhere, but sin has blinded the eyes of so many to what God is really like. God is good. God is loving. God is kind. God is merciful. God is everywhere. And his word touches the thoughts of men and their intents of their heart, and yet the spiritual meaning is not understood by many people. We live in a day where evil prevails. Fallen men fail to see the actions and the choices that they make that are bad. And if they really stop to think about the choices that they make, would they really make them over again? Man is one step from death, as we mentioned this morning. One day we'll take that final step, all of us. Often wonder where it will be. I read a book once of strange places where people left this world. One guy left this world under the hood of his car. He was working on the car when his time was up. He met the Lord with a wrench in his hand. Amen. That's something to shoot for, right? It was just different places. I mean, you could be anywhere in the course of your day, wherever you're doing, when the time comes. That's it. You know, it's like when you're in school and the bell rings and everybody ran for the door. Remember that? Oh, you love to hear that bell ring when school is out. Well, life is like that. God's going to ring the bell one day for each of us. But Jesus is near, and he's ready to help people, but they just don't see him. They just don't understand. And yet others live for him and worship him and rejoice in him, but to many, the Lord is unknown. And this lack of spiritual discernment often makes man live on the lowest level and even causes him to be mean to those around them. You think of the story of Samson, once a respected judge, once a respected leader in Israel. He ends his life where he's blinded, and he's really a sorry spectacle of someone who was once honored and respected. And the enemy took his eyes out. He lost his eyesight. Once a feared judge, he dies a common slave to his enemy. Blindness can keep someone content with the world. You know, this world has nothing that I want. It's all trappings. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Many people don't see what a poor exchange they're making by loving the world, what they're trading in its place. And for some, even heaven itself. I like that song we sing, "Look to Jesus now and live." I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah. I have a message unto you I bring. It's a message full of hope, hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Bible says that faith without works is dead, that real faith produces works. Real faith in Christ produces good works. God says tonight through his word and to his church, where are our works? Do we have works? Secondly, God alone can open man's eyes. You know, we can lead someone who's blind. We can't make them see, can we? We can put truth before them, but we can't open their eyes. That's a work that's reserved to God alone. God delights in open people's eyes. I remember when I was in the service, a friend of mine, Don Fett, he's diabetic and he had seizures. And one night he had such terrible seizures that his eyes rolled back into his head and he couldn't see. We took him to the base hospital and they put patches on both eyes. And I remember I had to lead him around by the hand and he couldn't see. And I remember going through this doorway and I'm holding the door and just out of habit, I wasn't thinking. And the door, you know, kind of hit him on the shoulder and the guy on the desk said, "What are you doing? The guy's blind." I said, "I'm sorry, I forgot." But he did get better. But, you know, sight is a wonderful thing. My son John, he just got tested for his eyes. He said he was having headaches. And sure enough, he needs glasses. So he's joining the ranks of the middle age. So you can tease him if you see him during the holidays. But I've got reading glasses. My mother used to have thick glasses. They were so thick. I mean, I don't know how she could see anything out of them. She must have been blind as a bat. Amen? I mean, they were as thick as Coke bottles. And you can have a telescope. And that's, you know, some people have telescopes today as a hobby. You can have colored lenses. They even have these new, you put in your contact. You can get different colored eyes if you want. You want them to have blue eyes your whole life? You can get blue contacts. Isn't that something? Amen. You can have green eyes on Monday and blue eyes on Tuesday. And yet, if you're blind, what good are those? Amen. If you're blind, what good's the telescope? If you're blind, what good are the reading glasses? They're no good at all. It's all in vain if a man is blind. And yet the cure for spiritual blindness is the Lord alone. People look to religion. People look to good works. People look to trying to do a good job and to be the best that they can be. But the only cure for spiritual blindness is simply Jesus. Just look to Jesus. Aren't you glad he made it that simple for us? Oh, man has really confused salvation. Amen. He confuses the plan of salvation by throwing in religion. Only Jesus is enough. Yes, man is born spiritually blind because of the curse of sin, but later he is willfully blind after he learns right from wrong. Isaiah 43:8, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it to you. God speaks through Isaiah, and he says, "Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears." In other words, bring them forth out of captivity, now that they can see, now that they can hear, they've learned their lesson. What a wonderful time that must have been when Israel came out of bondage, amen? Going back to the promised land. And now they can see, and now they can hear. You know, sometimes God takes his people to the woodshed, amen? And he scolds us and he disciplines us so that we can learn to see. Amen. Because we have a loving God. God doesn't have spoiled brats. Amen. He knows us all individually. Just like the wise parent that knows all of their children, their personalities, and their quirks. God knows us intimately, doesn't he? He knows what encourages us. He knows how to discipline us. He knows how to motivate us. You know, all my children were different. Yours probably all different too. One of my sons, all I had to do is raise my voice and they were just ready to listen. Another one, forget it. I mean, every day it was like, challenge your authority, you know, until the will was broken. And we had those wars. I mean, you spank one kid and they all cry in our house because they felt so sorry for this sibling, you know. He's getting it again. When is he going to learn? But they turned out all right. Amen. Train up a child in the way he's to go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Yes, we can ask God to open people's eyes. Elisha's prayer in verse 17 should be our cry. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Why, that is a prayer that every Sunday school teacher should memorize when you're teaching your students. It's not enough just to present truth. You got to pray for them that they'll see it, that they'll understand it, that God will open their eyes. We have unsaved relatives, unsaved neighbors. We got to pray for God to open their eyes. Amen. Yes, that should be our earnest prayer. When we see much, we that see much should see for them and inquire for them. And when someone's blindness astonishes us, it should drive us to our knees. When we come across those who are so blind and living a life that is so tragic, it ought to drive us to our knees for them. You know, it was the prayers of others that helped us. Did you know that? Long before you were saved, others prayed for you. Others asked God to open your eyes. God expects us to return the favor. Amen. We should repay the blessing to the prayer bank of the church. Prayers were deposited in churches for us. Now it's our time to deposit prayers for others. And it will glorify God to open their eyes so that we should pray with expectancy for God to honor Jesus by our prayers. That's why I can't overemphasize the importance of prayer in the church. Oh, not just Wednesday night, but all the time, praying for God's blessing. We see from this story that not only can we ask God to open people's eyes, but that God does open the eyes of men, women, and children. And he can do it in a moment. Just like that. Someone that's been on our heart a long time, the phone could ring and say, hey, guess what? I've been reading my Bible and, you know, this is interesting. And we sit back and we say, really? Tell us about it. And this person who never wanted to talk about the Lord, never was interested in spiritual things, all of a sudden is starting to inquire. Boy, that's the time to praise God. Amen? That's the time to praise God. Yes, God delights. And he can open eyes of people spiritually. He can do it in a moment. There are many miracles in the Bible performed by the Lord on blind people. And always enjoy studying about it. It seemed the Lord really enjoyed opening the eyes of the blind, especially the young. Even in our story here, this young man, Elisha prayed that his eyes would be opened. You know, the Lord's doing a great work with the young people in our own church. A lot of their eyes are being opened. I can't tell you, well, you probably saw me last Sunday morning trying not to cry. The junior church was singing that song, Thank You for Loving. What a wonderful, wonderful song. But God is opening the eyes of young people, that's for sure. And we need to thank him and continue praying that God will continue the work in their lives. Psalm 141, verse 8 says, "But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute." The psalmist was praying for God's blessing, that he might see more. You know, there's a lot of forms of spiritual blindness, that's for sure. I'd like you to look at one incident, and this is probably, well, I got a couple, but this one, I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 21. It's a story about Hagar, who was ordered out away from her family. She was given a bottle of water, her and her child, and the water ran out, and she left the child under some brush because she couldn't bear to see the child die. And she went a distance away and started to cry and started to pray. God heard the prayer. God heard the cry of the child. And it's an interesting story. Notice verse number 20, verse 14 of chapter 21. And we'll read to verse 19. Verse 14 says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad." Isn't that interesting? God heard the voice of that crying child. "And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation.'" Notice verse 19, "And God opened her eyes. She saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink." Amen. She was so close to this well of water, but she couldn't see it. God opened her eyes. She saw that well of cool water. You know, to me, that water is a picture of Jesus. He's so close to this lost world. So close, and yet they have no hope without him. But God can open their eyes. They would just but see. Amen? God opened her eyes, and she saw this well, and now her life is saved. Aren't you glad your life's been saved by the well of living water we sang about tonight? We were lost. We were destitute. God opened our eyes. Yes, God does open people's eyes today. And God can give us more spiritual sight. Those of us that know the Lord as Savior, represented by Elisha's servant, he could see, but he needed more sight. You know, there's always more to be seen in the Scriptures. Amen. Went to Tony's house last week or the week before, and he had his Bible out on this table, and he had his commentary and his notes, and I mean, he was just digging for gold. Amen. He said, "I don't like to read fast. I like to study. I just like to find something and get to the bottom of it." It's just, you know, praise the Lord. That's the way to study. Amen. Get down in there and dig and study and look up verses and cross references, and that's what the Bible's talking about. Study. Take it in. Take it all in. But there's always more that can be seen from the Scriptures. You know, our prayer should be when we open our Bibles, "Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." There's so much there to see. There's great light in the doctrines of God's Word. You know, it's a great accomplishment for a Christian to believe Romans 8:28 in their life. That's quite an accomplishment. To be able to glorify God in all things, in sickness, in good times and bad times, when you've got employment, when you don't have employment, when the mortgage is due and you can pay it, and the mortgage is due and you can't pay it, to be able to still believe in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. To be able to say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on in my life right now, but You've never let me down yet, and I believe that You're still not going to let me down. And I'll get through it. I don't know how, but it'll be just another wonderful chapter in this life that You've given to me. Amen? Oh, yes. He's not lost anyone yet. We can trust the one who's given us life. Yes. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 12 says these words, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste of death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren." Jesus is not ashamed to call you His brother or His sister. Oh, boy. You know, when I read that, it makes me want to please Him more than I do. Jesus is not ashamed of me. He hung on that cross publicly for me. And He says, "I'm not ashamed to call you my brother." Wow. God forgive me for ever complaining. Verse 12, saying, "I will declare Thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto Thee." All we need to keep looking to the one that gives spiritual sight, seeing Him who is invisible by faith, by the eye of faith. I guess one of the saddest things is to read God's Word with a veil on your heart, and for someone to pass through this world blindfolded to the riches of God's Word and God's creation and God's universe. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I love sunsets a whole lot more than I used to. They just knock me out. How beautiful they are. To be able to enjoy all that God has made in this world is truly a blessing. I like going to the shore in the summer. On the sunset, just walk along the beach. See the sun go down. Wonderful thing. A lady once said to an artist, "Why do you put such extravagant colors in all of your pictures? I never see anything like that in nature." The artist simply said, "Don't you wish you did? Because they're there." The dying words of William Tyndale were, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." Whose eyes do you pray for at night? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You'd burden our hearts to be more people of prayer. Pray for those that do not know You, that You would open their eyes. Lord, before we sleep at night, I pray that faces of our unsaved loved ones would go before us. And as they go before us, may we in turn talk to You about them and ask You to touch them and ask You to keep them and ask You to open their eyes to the great truths of Your Word and Your love. And I pray, Father, that You challenge us tonight in this area. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.